Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Retrotainment. This week we are joined again by the boss, the coach, Coach Bombay here, the Dynamo Ian Kelly of Dynamo's Dozen fame and the Four Podmen fame and the Upper Tier fame. Is there anything you don't have your hand stuck into yet?
No, yeah, I never won a championship. That's the only problem I've had. I've still never won a championship, but.
You still have time.
Yeah, I've probably won a few online or something, or I've won a few different types of championships, just never a wrestling championship. That's the only thing that passed me by.
Once COVID's gone, maybe you can get yourself back into the title picture.
Who knows? I might get
there's
into
a few spots open.
Yeah, there's lots of spots, I'd say.
There's a few of them open, unfortunately.
Who knows? After today's show, I might get into hockey.
The old ice hockey, yeah. That's what we've decided to bring you this show this week. If anybody didn't know and didn't get the reference from Coach Bombay, who's, Ian was referred to as, but also he's sitting over here on my shoulder. The Mighty Ducks film from 1992. So, not as old as some of the other films we've looked at, but also one of the classics for both myself and Ian, who grew up with this film as our childhood. This was the sort of thing that you'd see come Christmas, but you didn't know if you were going to get Mighty Ducks 1, 2, or 3. So it was just whichever one happened to be on as the 6 o'clock big movie. And you'd sit down, you'd spend your time watching it. And then you ended up falling in love with ice hockey from the back of it.
Yeah. That's about right. To be fair, it was, for me, rather than the big movie, I suppose it was more a case of it was something that you rented like on the weekend, like when you finish school on a Friday, you'd get to go and pick out like 2 videos for Friday and Saturday. If you were lucky, you'd get to pick 2. And, usually one of them involved like a pro wrestling video for me, probably one I'd seen a million times. And, the people that were buying them for you, i.e. your father or your uncle, will be like, you've seen this too many times. Let's get something different. That was basically their way of saying, shut the fuck up. You're not getting that movie. That's what I happened to get into ice hockey anyway in and around this time, purely from the Mega Drive games. And So to me, it was like, this is a movie I need to see,
That was the same as me, like the Sega Mega Drive. You got the ice hockey game you got it like free with that big game cartridge, where you had like six or seven games on it. And that you had the football one where if you fouled somebody, you could just run away from the referee until the whistle blew and you never got
and
your
the
card.
And the first game, the first ice hockey game that was on that one that you speak of, it didn't even have all the NHL teams in it. It only had the world teams. You remember, it was all like Canada and Slovakia and like Ukraine, and you're like
no real names or anything, just ice hockey player 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4, and 5.
Gremsky or something like that. Yeah. Gremsky, you were like, okay, I'll take. And I was like, everyone you played wanted to be Canada or Russia because they were the two best,
big nations. Yeah. But that's what got me my love of that's what got me into ice hockey, and then obviously, unfortunately, over here in Ireland, it's not really a big sport. So it's not something you could watch easily. One, because of the time it was on, and then two, it wasn't readily available. So it was kind of something that I didn't get into properly until I got a bit older, when I could find somewhere to watch it and whatnot. But from these films, that's how I fell in love with the Anaheim Ducks, as they're now called. But they were created off the back of this film. So obviously, becoming a hockey fan through this film, I was like, well, there's only one team I can support, and that's the Ducks. Yourself, you're a little bit different because you had a bit of a hockey background, as you said, just before the assignment came out.
Yeah, like it was kind of because I played kind of roller hockey because rollerblading was so big back then, like from 1992 upwards. Within that period of 1992 to about maybe 1996, rollerblading was pretty huge here. And
I remember.
Yeah, and I was just so fucking into hockey, and I was like one of the first guys actually that said like, let's all get some sticks and some pucks, and we'd just do it around the tarmacad in like our local school, Pres Bray. Like we'd find a nice, clear, freshly, you know, freshly, I suppose, placed where it had been just recently tarmacadded, if you want to use that analogy. And it was nice and smooth, and you could get a nice glide or whatever. And it was so, yeah, man, it was like, especially in the summer, you know, in the summer projects and stuff like that, you really got to play. And I was just I was a huge fan of that. And like, obviously, because I was such a big wrestling fan, like my team was Calgary, was the Flames, because of Bret the Hitman Hart. And found out later that at that time he wasn't even a Flames fan. It's only now he's a Flames fan. But I didn't really care. And so like the Mighty Ducks, I suppose, they kind of, I remember when they first came in, because all the games used to be on the NBC Super Channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Disney, obviously, that bought, made the team the same way they'd done it, something similar with the Orlando Magic as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily Disney that done that, but the Orlando Magic were based off the back of Disney, the fact that they were there, you know what I mean? So just shows you the power of Disney, even in 1992, they were trying to take over everything, right?
Yeah, they were, yeah. And, you know, the Ducks have had a bit of success, not recently now, they're pretty poor recently. Like, they won last night, but overall this season they've been pretty poor, and the last couple of seasons they've been poor, but they have had some success. So, you know, it's not just a gimmicky team just because, you know, oh, we made a film. Like, that might have been partially the reason it got started up, you know. Well, we can make a bit of money out of making an ice hockey team as well, but it's not like they've had no success either. So it was a good decision by Disney, I suppose, in the end. Yeah. They're obviously not involved anymore. Disney have sold the team on, and that's why they're no longer called the Mighty Ducks. They're just the Anaheim Ducks, and we lost this great logo, which I think was the biggest shame. I hate the new logo.
It looks like it was based off the back of like Donald Duck, but it looks more like the back of Darkwing Duck or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's deadly looking, but the new one's just. I think most fans of the Ducks are very much, they don't like the new webbed foot, that essentially it's a D, but the back of the D is like three webbed. Like,
yeah.
So hopefully we revert back to this in the coming years, because that's what people have been talking about. But enough about the actual hockey. Let's get into the film, I suppose. As I said, released back in 1992. So I would have been a young lad watching this. I used to love them, but I remember this film very fondly, and it's still, the trilogy is still one of my favourite. But we always have a look at the ratings from the likes of Rotten Tomato and IMDb. So Rotten Tomato, a terrible rating from critics. Now, there's only 30 or so critics that have rated this, but it's got a rating of 23%, which, like, that's really low. So when I saw something that low, I was like, I'm just going to have a quick look through here and see what the, you know, why some critics have, you know, rated it so low.
I'm looking forward to this, you know, because obviously they'll find films like Atonement with Keira Knightley, one of those kind of period drama films, and they'd be rated like 90-odd%. Yeah. And you watch it and you literally want to slit your wrist after watching it. Do you know what I mean? So
do you want to take a guess at what the number one complaint about this film from critics is?
Acting?
No. So see, that would at least be something. And like, you know, the acting isn't particularly brilliant by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but I was trying to think logically, at least
that's something logical. No, the two biggest problems they had with this film is, one, it's very formulaic in the sense that, you know, the underdog gets beaten by the big guy and then comes back to eventually beat them. And two, it'd be very entertaining for a child, but as an adult, it's not that entertaining. It's a children's film that, like,
yeah,
you're a critic. Like, this is your job to you know, critically analyze films. And the thing that you knock this film down for and rate it poorly for is that it's a bit childish. A children's film is childish. That's your problem with the film. I mean, so this is why I don't really like ratings for films, because you do get critics who come out and put stuff like that out, and you're like, man, what did you want? Like, some, you know, deep-seated mental stuff that, like, a child's just never going to understand and therefore hate the film. So it's now an adult's film? Nah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind the formulaic stuff. Like, you see that in, you know, like, and The Lion King has a pretty decent rating, but that's the exact same formula. You know, he gets scared off by his uncle, who's the bad guy, and then he comes back to be victorious. And you're like, but you don't have a problem with it in The Lion King. It's only a problem in this. Like, if you say the acting's poor or something like that, at least it's, you know, a logical reason to dislike a film. But to dislike a kid's film because it's childish.
And you would still have a rebuttal by that by saying, yeah, the acting's not great because it's meant to be a tongue-in-cheek child's film. But like you say, at least it's something that you can critique. But yeah, to say it's formulaic, I think is absolute horseshit, personally. Yeah.
But then audience rating is, it's about, the, so audience rating is 65%. And then
yeah, on, there we go. That's a bit more like it.
IMBD, it's 6.5 out of 10, which is 65% as well. And I think that that's a fairly fair rating because, you know, as much as it's one of my personal favorite films, so like I would rate this film way higher than that, but that's partially due to nostalgia and partially due to the fact that it did get me into ice hockey, which is now something that I love watching. So I have a bit more of a resonance with the film than, you know, just a casual person would. So sure. I understand it being, but like that just shows a critic to audience member 23 to 65. Like that's a big jump. You shouldn't be getting a jump like that. You know, kind of 10% would kind of be the leeway I would have on something like that.
So what was the first one? What was the critics one? Was 25, was it?
23.
So you're talking about what? 42% of the people believed that it was a good film. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, like that's, it's a bad, and you know, I understand that critics look at things differently, which is why, as you said, you know, some of those kind of dramas get a very high rating, and I understand that, you know, they look at, you know, camera work and things like that in it, but at the same time, I think you do need to, you can only judge a film based on what it is. So it's a kid's film, so it's a bit childish. That, you know, what's the main story in this? The whole story, the premise is, you know, it's not about winning, it's about, it's similar to The Karate Kid, it's not about winning, it's about showing that you deserve to be there and putting the hard work in. That's the story here. And that's what you want to teach your kids. You don't want to teach them that it's all about winning either. Like obviously when you're in a competitive sport, you want the kid to go in and win, but you don't want them going in essentially bullying other kids who aren't good. You know, you want to teach them that, you know, if somebody's trying their hardest, like help them along the way. Don't just go, I'm better than you. Which is
before we get into the film, did you hear the rumor that like with Emilio Estevez, if you want to call him that way, Emilio Estevez, even though it's not as, you know,
yeah,
kind of a strange family, let's be real. But did you know that they were supposedly doing like a Mighty Ducks series with him in it?
Yeah, it's meant to be coming out on Disney Plus. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Could be announced. Yeah, I'm actually just after looking at that there now. Yeah. So I was kind of like, that's pretty cool.
I'm kind of wondering what, like, I'm really interested in that because I'm wondering what they're going to do with him, because obviously it's unlikely he's going to be the coach in this. So what I would like to see in this is your man who played Charlie, who's like, you know, he's kind of the main character. Emilio Estevez is like Coach Bombay is really the main character, but of the kids, Charlie's kind of the main guy. I'd like to see him as the coach. And do you remember the way Emilio Estevez had to get it was Hans, like somebody that he knew from when he was younger, had to like reteach him, you know, hockey's not all about winning, it's about having fun. I'd like to see Coach Bombay as that to Charlie in this, but I have no idea because there hasn't been anything released on, you know, where they're going to go with it.
That could be one of those little gems like Cobra Kai that comes
out. Exactly,
you don't expect it. Because, like, you know, for us real Cobra Kai fans, and that's not a knock on anybody that watches it and enjoys the series, but, like, for example, with Cobra Kai, I know you've covered, well, you haven't covered the series, but you covered The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm like with, you know,
yeah,
with
Karate Kid. Yeah, that's your big film. Like, this is my big, big film, and that's one of yours.
Sure,
like,
exactly, because there's that little bit of an age difference between us where, like, it's not vast, but it's just, you know, it's just a little bit of a generational. I mean,
those couple of years, though, when you're younger, like 3 or 4 years when you're a kid is huge. Like, you know, now you don't look at it, but when you were a kid, you weren't going to be a 7-year-old hanging around with a 3 or 4-year-old either, you know?
Well, it's, yeah, back then, exactly. It's a big difference. Especially back in our day, yeah. That shit meant something. And I think, because when I look at Emiliano, I keep saying Emiliano Estevez. I think I was playing FIFA earlier and, like, there was Emiliano, someone. No, Emilio Estevez. Like, he was a big, big staple of my childhood when I look at it, really, because, I mean, one of my films as a kid was The Breakfast Club, which was obviously brought out the year. That was brought out the year after I was born, 85. So that was a huge film for me. And then St. Elmo's Fire was the same year. I'm just looking through it here. That was then, This Is Now. That's an amazing film as well for anyone that hasn't seen it. Maximum Overdrive, Stakeout, Young Guns 2, Mighty Ducks, Loaded Weapon, another Stakeout. And then he obviously done Mighty Ducks 2. And, you know, that was kind of the last that I'd kind of seen of Emilio Estevez.
He kind of disappeared for a little bit.
Well, he actually, looking at his body of work there, he done quite a lot. But, you know, to me, that tells me a lot of it would have been like straight to video kind of releases. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And that's probably what it was. But, like, when you think about it now, I'm like, right, that's a perfect recipe for someone like the generation that just came slightly after me to have a series that they can reminisce on as well.
Yeah.
In the Mighty Ducks, you know what I mean? And I think that would be perfect.
But it obviously it doesn't do particularly well in terms of ratings from critics, but seems to do, you know, above average for audiences. But then so the box office for this was 50.8 million, which is again not particularly high, but you know, it's kind of hard to judge those, I suppose, because sometimes something will do really well in the box office and other times it won't. Like, some films do terrible at box office and then become some of the biggest hits in the world. So it's not something you should judge overly much on, but I like to just see how it did during that time. So, you know, 50.8 million is nothing to be snuffed at, I suppose. Like, I'd take it.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so, like, obviously the film starts and we see a nice little shot of Bombay when he's a kid and he's skating, and it comes in with this commentary on the game that he obviously misses the free penalty in the third, and then they go on, as we learn, to lose in overtime. But I think that's a really good start because it gets you straight into, you know, his history, but also lets you know what you're starting into. Like, you're starting into hockey straight away. Here he is on the ice, and you can see his coaches. The coach, Coach O'Reilly, is like, you need to make this shot. And it's a real, you know, he puts all the pressure on this shoulder, like the shoulders of this little kid. Like, you know, this is the biggest moment of this kid's life, I suppose, as well at that point. And he's like, you have to make this shot, sort of thing. It gives you a good start, like a good starting point to what his childhood was like, because then we jump into him in the courtroom and he's just, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. He's like, it's all about the win. Don't worry about, you know, if it's fair or anything like that. And he says that, he's like, it's, you know, it's all about the W. Who cares how I get it? You need to be more aggressive like me. And that's all he cares about is winning, winning, winning. And you can see where he's got that mentality from, because it's from his coach at a peewee level.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that kind of narrative as well, because it does. And it's such a true kind of story with a lot of people that have become successful is because of coaches like that. You know what I mean? Whatever kind of road that they've become successful on, or whatever path that has led them to be successful, is based on something in their childhood that they were just that competitive person. And I think that's a really good kind of slight little backstory.
Yeah.
As to why this guy is such an arrogant, narcissistic prick, basically.
He's a piece of shit, like, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's calling the
judge.
I don't care
if I put someone innocent away. It's all about the W. Do you know what I mean? It's all about the West Side. Like, and I think it's Yeah, like it's actually a really cute. I did like that when I went back to that, because it was something I kind of forgot when I was young. And you know, when you're young, you watch these films and you kind of, it doesn't
those
really
bits, yeah, you resonate. Kind of skip those.
It doesn't resonate too much.
The action gets the action sort of thing when you're
exactly.
a kid, you know.
But when you look at that now, you're kind of going, oh shit, I can actually, you know, that really does kind of make me, I suppose, yeah, it resonates with you. You know what I mean?
Like you understand what's happened. Like, okay, yes. There's a way about going about winning. Like, yes, you go in and, you know, your job is to win the case. So obviously you're going to do that. But it's the way he goes about it. Like, you know, going over to his client and being like, I don't have anything to say. Just want to annoy the judge. You know, it's that sort of arrogance and, you know, lack of respect to the other people around him.
Yeah.
That he's clearly learned from, you know, this coach from when he's a kid. And then he gets back to the office and, you know, he's won the case and he's offered a, tickets to go to the ice hockey, and the first words out of his mouth are, "No, he hates ice hockey." Like, and you're just kind of looking at that, and you're like, "This is a kid who was apparently in love with ice hockey, and now he hates it." And it just shows you how much that one moment in his life really had an impact, because it framed who he was as a person in terms of how he acts and how he treats people.
Because he became bitter and fucking arrogant and all of the seeds of a bad person were just implanted in his very being within that one incident. You know what I mean? And that one coach.
Yeah. And then obviously, like, he kind of feels he's above the law in a sense, because he goes out and gets, you know, he gets drunk and he's driving around in the car and eventually gets pulled over by the police officer, and he's planning on fighting the case. And you're like, you were caught with the beer in your hand. Like, you don't really have a defense. And he was like, oh no, I can get out of this. So it just kind of shows.
That's the arrogance. Yeah.
He felt he was above, you know, I can get out of anything I want. And he gets sentenced to, so they take away his license. He gets 500 hours community service. And obviously the community service is to be the coach of a little league, or not a little league, peewee hockey team, which he goes back to his hometown of Minnesota, and that's where he's going to be the coach of the one of the two teams in that little town. So obviously you have the Hawks, who he played for, who it's kind of weird. Coach O'Reilly is still the coach, because, like, do you know when you were a kid and you played football or whatever, like, your dad might have coached your team. But then, like, you know, that's 30 odd years ago. Why is this guy still coaching?
Yeah, it was always a kind of a revolving door.
Like someone else's dad would take over, or you might do it for 2 or 3 years and then go on. But you're kind of like, that guy's been coaching that same team for like 30 odd years. What's the crack with him like?
Somebody needs to check into this guy and look at what he's all about.
Yeah, like, this guy.
Is he a Catholic priest, or what's the story? I don't know. I'm not making any accusations, but someone should look at this coach.
But, like, he's a coach that's, you know, he's obviously, we see a little bit later on in the film that, you know, the Hawks always win except that one year with Bombay missing that penalty. And you're like, if he's that successful with the Peewee teams, why hasn't he tried to progress himself? And it kind of tells you a little bit about Coach O'Reilly. He cares about winning, and he doesn't care about, you know, taking on a bigger challenge or something more difficult. All he cared about was, we're the dominant team here, so I'm just going to stay here in this nice little comfort zone of being dominant. And that's all he is. And it kind of shows, like, he had no aspirations in life, in a sense. Like, all he wanted to do was just continuously coach this peewee hockey team to victory, even though he's essentially bullying all the children on his team.
Like I said, someone should look into him.
Yeah. But unfortunately, unfortunately for Bombay, he comes back and he's coaching a team that's at the time just called District 5. So he sees them out on the ice and none of them can skate, really. They're all falling all over the place. And he tells his driver, drive out on the ice. And you're kind of like, that's a bit risky, you know. How solid is this ice? Because you're driving a car out onto it with one yourself in it, and two, like, then all these kids out on the ice as well. But they drive out, and he gets out of the car, and all the kids come up, and the kid Jesse is like, yeah, we, because he's obviously in a limo, and they all think, you know, this is some big time drug dealer or something. So your man Jesse starts giving it lip, you know, like he's the cheeky little kid, like, oh, nothing will happen. So he starts giving him lip, like, yeah, you get out of here. And then he puts his hand into his jacket, and they all think he's going to pull out, like, the implication is that, you know, he's going to pull out a gun or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kids are all terrified. So then he starts, he's like, I'm your new coach, and starts reading out their name. And we get an indication of how bad the kids are, because they tell us that their previous coach had to stop coaching them because he hurt his arm. And they're like, yeah, he was just shouting at us. Then he grabbed his arm and fell on the floor, which is a heart attack. So, like, that's how bad this team is. They're giving their old coach a heart attack. Like,
they're literally like, yeah, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I was going, right, so they're the misfits. They're the kids that basically don't get picked for, you know, the first in line to play sports, or don't get picked, you know, to do anything, basically. So it's and it's such a strange one, because, like, they're literally kids of all ages and sizes. When you go through the movie, you're like, this is not,
they shouldn't be on the same team.
No, this is so weird. I mean, actually, that would have been more of a critique, and more of a proper critique, you know, on the ratings that you could live and die by.
Like, some of these kids are clearly, like, a couple of years younger than the other guys.
Why is this newborn?
Yeah, on the ice? Like, you know? Yeah, like that little kid Peter, who's like,
you can see him in the background there. Yeah. I think,
and you can see him. He's the little tiny lad. And the thing is that when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, he's cool, because when I was like, I'm still quite short now, but when I was a kid, like, I was really short. So, like, when I watched these films, I was like, yeah, he's the best of the lot, because he's the shortest kid out of it, and I was the shortest kid in my friends group. Like, so to me, I was always like, yeah, he's cool, but he doesn't show up for any of the other films. He's kind of the one that just kind of disappears after this film. But obviously, Bombay, they all climb into his car, and he's driving them around on the ice. And then Charlie's mum comes along, and she's like, everybody out of the car. And she goes mental. Like, she's like, what are you doing driving those kids around on the ice? And Bombay's just like, listen, I know the ice. Which, I mean, if you were a parent, you'd kind of be like, yeah, that isn't going to cut it. Like, you can't be driving around on this pond with that car, with all my kids in your car. Like, I don't think any parent would have accepted that.
No, absolutely not. Like, and that's kind of what's cool about it. Like, it's you know, he just wants to basically get his community service over with.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't really give a shit.
Yeah. You know, and it shows his arrogance again, to know, I know the ice. Like,
yeah, I know the ice. Yeah.
You know, the ice is strong enough not to collapse under a car, do you? Without any, you know, without even stepping on it before that, his first instinct was drive out on that ice.
Yeah.
Like, it just shows the arrogance of him. And I think that was a nice little bit to show, you know, like, even though he's been caught and he's been punished, he still hasn't changed yet. He's still the same arrogant guy who just doesn't really want to be there.
He doesn't really have any respect for anyone or any situation other than his own pocket, basically. So in Ireland, we like to call them Mayfainers. Like, you know, he's all about himself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he even when he's in the car, he's still trying to, like, ring the office where he's been told, like, you can't work until you've done this community service. And he's still trying to get work done in the office. Like, all he thinks about is himself. And then you said they're all like a little bunch of misfits. And I don't know if you noticed this when you watched it, but they all wear different kind of clothes. But they're all from Minnesota. So obviously, you know, Minnesota had its own team. But none of them are wearing that team's jersey. You've got one guy wearing a Philadelphia, like, Goldberg's wearing the Philadelphia Flyers jersey, which is fair enough because he mentions he is from Philadelphia. But then one of the other kids is wearing a Sharks jersey. They're all just wearing jerseys from these different NHL teams, and you're like,
by the way, I actually just a quick little side note, I watched that like only the other day, and that Sharks jersey is so beautiful. I think the Sharks have the best jerseys in the league.
They do at the moment. And
even though I'm a Flames fan, I think the Sharks have always had the best.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's a jersey. Everyone can appreciate a solid jersey, like whether it's your rivals or someone, you know, you're meant to dislike or not. If it's a good jersey,
if it's glowing and you go, right, that guy looks, yeah, he looks on point there wearing that jersey. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's you can always appreciate a good jersey or a good piece of sporting clothing. Would be the best way of saying it, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you might not like the team, but you'll at least appreciate, like,
exactly.
Even if it's grudgingly, you're like, they do have a good jersey, actually.
But those damn bastards, that I tell you, they always get me with the jersey.
Yeah. But they go into their first game, and obviously, you know, who else is it going to be but Coach Bombay's, when he's a kid, his old team, the Hawks. So his first game, he's up against the Hawks, and there's a huge crowd at this game. I mean, like, this is similar, like, for people who don't know what Pee Wee hockey is, it's basically, you know, under 10s football. So, like, the only people that would really be at the game are, you know, your mum and dad, like, or like one parent, and then, you know, some other guy's parents, and whoever drove, like, because, you know, like, you'd normally get like three or four of you into a car. So it'd just be whoever's parent drove out. Like, you don't have this huge crowd, but in these games, they're drawing these crowds of like a couple of hundred people, like. And obviously, you know, that's just for the effect in the film, but you're kind of thinking, no chance of little peewee hockey games drawn that sort of crowd. But they go out and they get absolutely annihilated by the Hawks, which, you know, as I said, like they said, it's formulaic, critics did. And it is, you know, you go out, they get battered by essentially the bad guys. That's who the Hawks are. And they're the bad guys in the film. So they go out and they get beaten by these, by, geez, I don't even know what the score ended up being. I can't remember, but it's a pretty bad score. And then Bombay is given out to the kids and stuff. And then he looks out into the crowd and he sees your man, he sees Hans, who's the guy who owns the local skate shop that Bombay used to hang around in when he was a kid and stuff. And he eventually goes to the shop, and that's when, you know, he kind of has this character change, because he talks to Hans, and Hans reminds him that, you know, you used to love hockey. It wasn't all about winning. You just wanted to get out there and skate. And then we learn a bit more about Bombay's background and why maybe that year was such a big deal to him, because obviously he mentions that his dad passes away that year and then he misses that shot. And in his mind, he's always linked the two things. Like, my dad passed away and then I messed up and we didn't win, you know, the state championship or whatever it was at the time. So you can see why at such a young age, why it had such an effect on him and why the coach was such a big impact in, you know, making him, shaping his character. Because he then looked at his coach as his father figure rather than his actual dad, because his dad's passed away.
Yeah. And that's kind of when you get a little bit of soul into the character behind the man. Do you know what I mean? And you can see the depth. Because up until that point, you can only really see, like, the shady lawyer that nobody really likes, just the kind of soulless, you know, narcissist that nobody really wants to be around. And then you see, yeah, okay, so this was actually, this is a little bit of context on the character.
Like, and you start to see his caring side, because obviously he goes into the shop and then Hans catches him with the old trick of cutting his finger on the ski. And he's like, oh, are you okay? And it shows that, you know, he's not just this cold, calculating lawyer who cares about no one but himself. He obviously, he's forgotten about his past, but now it's kind of been reintroduced to him, which is, again, very formulaic of kids' films. But, you know, that's what you expect from a kids' film. So, I don't mind that. But I love that there's a little joke in here.
But also, realistically as well, it's also how a lot of human beings are. Like, not everyone is just...
Yeah,
you know, in the book, you know, people do give a shit as well sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sometimes you just, you know, as you grow older, you kind of forget about stuff that you did love, and you kind of forget that, like, sometimes you kind of forget, especially for people who are really competitive, they forget that sometimes it is just about enjoying yourself. You know, not everything needs to be a competition. And, like, that even holds true today. Like, a lot of people compare their lives to everyone around them, and you're like, you don't need to compare your life to, you know, this person over here and that person over there and that person over there. Like, just keep tipping away at your own life and enjoy what you have, basically. Like, and that's kind of what that's kind of what this film brings up as well. But there's a great little bit where after he's cut his finger, Bombay says to Hans, he's like, "You're a morbid, Hans." And Hans's response is, "No, I'm Scandinavian." And I just think that's it's such a great, you know, it's a great dad joke. And I think that's great because obviously, as I said, we learn that he loses his dad, and then he kind of looks as a Coach O'Reilly as his dad in a sense. So then you're kind of getting the, you know, the devil on your shoulder and the angel on your shoulder, where Bombay is the Coach O'Reilly is the devil that's telling them that win at all costs. And then you have the angel on his shoulder, which is Hans. And he kind of views him as a father figure as well. And Hans is just like, yeah, don't worry. Like, yeah, go out and try and, you know, but enjoy yourself and stuff. And that's when we see this big turnaround. And he starts, you know, he stops essentially bullying the children, and he goes and apologizes to Charlie for trying to, you know, tell them all to cheat and things like that. And at one point he tells Charlie to take a dive if someone gets their stick up under his mask. And the kid has the stick like at Charlie's eye, and you're like, that wouldn't be a dive. Like, that kid is ramming that stick into your eye. You're not diving there. Like, that's an actual foul. Like, you go down there, that's fine. You know, that other kid is cheating. But Charlie obviously doesn't, so he has to go and apologize. And that's when we get the love interest, if you will, of the like Charlie's mom and Coach Bombay, which obviously helps his soften his character a little bit. But
which is the old school, as you say, the formulaic plan, like, you know, everybody wants to believe in love, anyone can be changed, all that kind of stuff. So
but he eventually finds out that one of the Hawks, it's when he's in the shop with Hans, and he discovers that the borders have been changed. So where he was a Hawk when he was a kid, he actually wouldn't be a Hawk anymore, because the border had changed. And that also meant that one of the big players on the Hawks, Adam Banks, who Coach O'Reilly, you know, says that's the hot shot. He's going to be a star. He shouldn't be playing for the Hawks. So, you know, he kind of takes a bit of his lawyer boots here, where he's like, well, we're going to get him. So he shows up and he says, either Banks plays for us or he doesn't play at all. And, you know, that obviously hurts the Hawks, but all the kids on the team don't want Banks to play with them because they've viewed him as the enemy for so long, which, you know, that makes sense because that's how kids are, you know. They don't look at the fact that they're going to get a great player. They look at the fact that, oh, we just don't like that guy because he's, you know, he's the enemy, essentially.
Yeah.
But then he says, you know, he either plays for us or he doesn't play. And then Adam's dad is a big contributor to the law firm that he used to work at. Or, well, that I suppose technically still does work at that point, but he's been, you know, told he's not allowed to work.
Community service. So he's
gone in and, you know, he's gotten the owner of the company to give them loads of money to buy the kids skates and to buy them things and to get them their own jerseys. And that's where the name Ducks come from, because the owner of the company is Mr. Ducksworth. So he's like, we'll name the team after you. But he goes in and Mr. Ducksworth is like, the country, like the county board has said, if you withdraw your protest, Adam can play for the Hawks and they'll redo the border lines next year. So basically, like, we have the money, so we're going to essentially bully our way into getting what we want because we're rich. That's the story that they're trying to give there. And he says, no, he's like, not, because he's learned that it's not all about the W. He's learned that, you know, he's learned compassion and he now cares for the kids and cares for the team. So he says, nah. He either sticks with us or he doesn't. And then Mr. Ducksworth's like, are you willing to get fired over a bunch of kids? And I think his response is great, where he's like, are you willing to fire me over a game? And Mr. Ducksworth does. And it just shows like how much of like a bad guy they are, like the Hawks are, because he's now lost his job as a professional lawyer because of what he was doing in community service, because one kid was going to have to play for a different team than he used to? Like, would you really fire somebody over that?
No, not at all.
But that's what he gets fired for. And so obviously he has to, Banks is told, you know, you have to join up and become one of the Ducks now. So they've now got this, you know, hotshot player that's going to help them win all these games, but none of the kids like him. So they're one game away from the playoffs, and all the kids walk out on them because of this, except two, Charlie and Fulton. And Fulton is obviously someone that they get in because he smashes the window of the limo at one point when he's out smashing the puck in the, just out in the alleyway, like the way we would, you know, kicking a ball around.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just out doing that and he's like, no, I can't play. So they have to teach him to skate and stuff, and they have him going through the shopping center where he's like knocking people over and stuff because he can't skate. But obviously everyone else bails.
They're showing that they see his checking ability and kind of go.
Yeah.
All right.
But actually, just do you know your man who played Fulton? Do you recognize him from anything?
No.
So Daredevil. The series, the Netflix series.
Yeah, I've just finished that recently. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you know the kind of sidekick in it? His partner in the law firm.
Spencer. Yeah. Foggy.
Foggy. That's him.
Is it?
That's Fulton Reed.
Yeah. That is him. Oh my God.
I was kind of thinking, has anyone other than Estevez gone on to do anything after this film? And I was kind of like, no.
That's crazy, man.
No one really went on to be anything. I feel so old now.
I feel so old.
Man, and when I noticed that, I was like, wow, that's insane. Because when I was watching Daredevil, I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. What do I know that face from? And I couldn't think about it. For ages, I could have looked it up and I just never did. But it was only when I looked up here, I was like, oh, that's where I know him from. He's the Mighty Ducks and then he's Foggy in Daredevil.
Let me check if I can find something, actually. That's so weird because I was thinking, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah, I can still hear you, bud. Yeah, but it's insane, isn't it? Like,
damn it. I can't find it. No, because I thought I had it. I had something that was similar. And I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who the character was, but it was like something, one of those moments like today where I just went, do you know who that guy is?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, is that him? I cannot remember what it is. I thought I had it at the top of my drawer there, but I don't.
Yeah. No, it was only when I rewatched this and I was like, that's where I know him from. And then I looked it up and I was like, I'm going to confirm this because I don't want to go and say it is. And then, you know, everyone be like, no, that's wrong. But I looked it up and it is. It's the same actor. But that was just a nice little side note because I know you're a big Daredevil fan as well as I am.
Yeah, but, absolutely, man. Just finished season 3, so yeah, that's actually so good. Cool.
But obviously the whole team walk out and then there's no one, you know, they don't have a team, so they have to forfeit the game. And it looks like this is the end, like this is the Ducks gone. They're not going to play anymore. And then they're all in school and they're in whatever class they're in. And the teacher walks out for whatever reason. And as per usual, you know, the teacher walks out. So everyone starts having a little mess. And they get into this big fight where they're like fucking stuff across the room at each other and a table gets knocked over. But then there's one bit in that like kind of caught me really good. There's one girl who's just sitting there doing her work. And there was always that kid in class, you know, where everyone else is messing and throwing paper and messing. And then there's just one kid doing their work. And the teacher's out of the room.
I was never the guy that did the work. I was the guy
messing,
licking the paper. You know the thing you don't do that you can't do. You put it in your mouth and chew it to make it nice and like.
And then flick it at somebody. Yeah. Oh, I remember.
Or you get a ruler. You get one of those old rulers, and you go. And if you got a good shot, you get the side of someone's head.
Yeah. Or the rubber bands where you'd go over and you just. Onto their hand.
Oh, and then the thing about it is, people, you'd be like, right, who's the real rats here now? Who's gonna rat us out? Because if there was a commotion, like, and people would go, oh, you stupid prick, and then the teacher would turn around and go, what's that, Mister? Whatever. And you know, if the guy went, oh, Ian just threw a thing at me, like, you know, everyone in the class was going,
Don't do that. Just say you stubbed your toe or something, man, will you?
You can't. Man, I got opened up one time in school. Opened up by mistake. It was actually very funny. It's a little segue. But I had like, I chewed the end of like a banana.
Yeah.
And I done that thing with the ruler and I'm like, Paul Doyle, shout out to Paul Doyle, wherever he is in Ireland today. I hope he listens to this show, whatever. If you do listen, Paul, get in contact with us because he'll remember this really well. I got him and it was either the end of a banana or no, I tell a lie. It was the end of a Mars bar. That's what it was. It was the end of a Mars bar. So it's actually worse than a banana. At least a banana, you can wipe it off. So it was actually hard. Like it was proper, like
clunky in the head.
Yeah, and I flicked it and it was a dunk. And he got so aggressive and we start laughing that he fucked the end of a, he had a bottle of Coke that he was drinking.
And,
and there was a little bit, there was a tiny bit in the end of the Coke, but the, obviously the lid was open because he was drinking it. And he fucked it at me. And whatever way he threw it, it landed, boom, right in the top of my head. Now, it didn't hurt because it was just one of those things. And I started laughing, going, ha, you got me back. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
I turn around to the desk to talk to one of the guys, and he goes, Ian, oh, my God, you're busted open. Like, I was like, what? He goes, you're bleeding, like, all over your face. And I was like, what?
Nah.
This is a funny story. I went like that. Boom, dripping off my hand. And I was like, what's the story? And Paul looks at me and he goes, he thought like, shit, what am I at to doing?
Yeah.
So teacher comes in and I was just like, I'm going to play this. In my head, I'm like 18 years old thinking, and that's the bottom line. You know, like, because I didn't give a shit. I was like, yeah. So teacher comes in and I was like, shit, I've got to think of my feet.
You can't rat your boy out.
Yeah, like Miss Kelly. Do you remember Miss Kelly and Prez?
No, I wasn't Prez, no.
You weren't Prez. No. So Miss Kelly, shout out to Miss Kelly wherever you were too. She came in, she goes, oh my God, what happened to you? I was like, oh, well, you see, what happened, Miss, was I was in the bathroom and it was just recently cleaned, which it was true. It was just recently cleaned.
One of the few times.
And I slipped and I banged my head off the side of the sink and I just don't feel very well.
Home for the day.
Boom. She goes, oh my God, you need to go to the principal's office right now. He needs to see to you, like blah, blah, blah. She goes, who wants to bring him? And one of the lads just goes, oh. And I looked at Paul Doyle as I was walking. I was like, and I think he was just going like, oh, thankfully, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't. So I went in, obviously, selling the head job, like, you know what I mean, to the principal. He actually personally dropped me home to my door, and I got 2 days off, you know. It was nice.
It's mad, though, because, like, your man Paul, like, he obviously, you know, he doesn't mean to split you open. Like, it's just him reacting.
But natural, like, reaction, yeah.
But, like, if you decide to rat him out, he's in a massive amount of trouble now. Like, so you're just kind of like, there was no need to. But I always thought that was a real funny scene where everyone's like, and it's weird because they're all essentially, it's all a hockey team in one classroom, and then there's just one random little girl who's just sitting there doing her work, and you're like, man, I would hate to be that person in that, like, hate to be her in that situation where everyone else is like on the same hockey team, so they're all friends and stuff, and then you're just this one random kid in the class who doesn't play hockey.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things as well where you're kind of like, you wonder what the dynamic between that group is, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, realistically, you know, up until a later point, obviously the dynamic is fantastic, but up until this point, you're going,
yeah. It's kind of after this fight in the classroom when they all get the detention and they all have to, because the principal comes in and they all quack at her. So they're all in detention, right? And I will not quack at the principal, basically a la Bart Simpson, you know, just doing line after line after line, that they all kind of, you know, they form the bond where they're all like, because obviously none of them ratted the other out. They all just kept their mouths shut. None of them were like, he did this. They all just went, keep our mouths shut and we'll take the punishment as a group. And as you said, like, once you do that, you build up that kind of, that friendship, that sort of bond. But
that's what it is, though. I think that's essentially what it boils down to, is you're actually, I think within this group, you start seeing the dynamic grow like closer and closer as the movie goes on. Do you know what I mean? you could see that, like, these guys shouldn't really have, there's no reason these guys should get along, but here they are. Do you know what I mean? And you can start, you can actually see why they're getting closer as the film rolls on. I think it's actually quite great storytelling, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, and that's why I think it was a bit unfair for them to say that, you know, oh, it's just real easy, because you do build that sort of bond with the people you're friends with. Because, you know, absolutely. you don't rat each other out, and you just all take the punishment together.
That's why I obviously segued to that story. Like, I mean, there was a reason, there was a story within that story, and I think it's shown like a band of brothers and sisters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, they've all gotten this detention, and, you know, they've built up this camaraderie between them, and then Coach Bombay comes in and gets them all out of detention and explains to them that, you know, what he said to Coach O'Reilly about them being losers was just sarcasm. And he's like, do you understand sarcasm? And they all, and the kid responds, no. He's like, right, you do, grand. So they all kind of forgive him off the back of that. And then they win their next game. So they're into the playoffs. So this is some team that, you know, never should have had a chance at the playoffs. They're now in. And he's like, let's go for it. Like, let's try and get this, let's get to the finals at the least. So they play, and, you know, they win 2-1 here, and then they win 3-0 there. And it kind of just flies through the games. It just gives you the highlights of them scoring and stuff, which is good, because, you know, you can't spend the whole time just watching them play hockey, because it is peewee. But there is a nice shot where they show Fulton taking a shot with the puck, and they have, like, the camera is, like, on the puck, so you can see you can see what the puck sees, essentially, and everyone's like jumping out of the way of Fulton's shot, like firing towards the net. But they obviously they get to the finals, and they're going to be against, of course, the Hawks. But this time they now have Adam Banks playing for them, who was, you know, a big part of them getting to the final, because he scored a load of goals, because he's, you know, he's pipped to be, you know, one of the best young players around. Like, he could go all the way, is what Coach O'Reilly said about him. So, you're talking about a young kid who's been pipped by, it's just a local coach, but it's been pipped that, you know, this kid could make it to the NHL. So you're talking serious talent here, you know. And even when you were younger and you played football, there was always the odd kid that you were like, he could make it all right, you know, sort of thing.
Well, yeah, like, there was always that one or two that you'd be like, yeah, he's the talent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So getting him was obviously a big addition. And then, you know, they have the likes of Fulton, who's their big enforcer. And they go out and they're playing the Hawks. And, you know, it starts out, they're not doing all that well. They're kind of, the Hawks are kind of dominating them. And there's kind of a fear. You can see it in their team. There's still a fear of this Hawks team. They don't think they can beat them. So they go out and they're kind of getting trashed around the place. And then Bombay kind of says to them, you know, don't be too fearful. Like, go out, just enjoy yourselves. You can win it. And then we see Banks scores against the Hawks. And it's kind of weird, because his dad is in all Hawks gear. So his dad is still supporting the Hawks, even though his kid now plays for a different team. And you're kind of thinking, what the hell are you supporting them for? Like, your kid isn't even on that team anymore. What's going on here? But Banks scores, and then Coach O'Reilly says to two of the kids, he's like, I don't want him. Or sorry, it's before he scores. Coach O'Reilly says, I want Banks out of this game. So as Banks scores, one of the kids comes up and shoves him in the back, and he like pings his head off the goalpost, and that's him out. Like, concussion, they bring on, you know, they don't say it's concussion, but, you know, that's the implication, is that he's concussed and stuff, and he gets taken off. And it's funny, because one of the kids kind of says to your man who pushes him, what did you do? And your man's just like, real serious, like, my job. Like, this is some 8-year-old kid or 10-year-old kid or whatever.
My job.
Yeah, my job. It just shows you how drilled they are by the coach.
Oh my God, that's actually so bad, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? It's so funny. And then the worst part, like, this is where I was saying, you know, if you wanted to be critical of the film, he gets like 2 minutes in the box. Like, he's just seriously injured another player with, you know, intent to injure. That's a game misconduct. He should be out, but he gets 2 minutes. But then obviously, you know, that injury kind of spurs on the Ducks to, you know, play to their best and to beat them. And Fulton goes out and gets a... So one of the Hawks, you know, hits one of the two girls on the team. He hits Connie quite hard. So Fulton jumps the rail and goes over and dumps him into his own team's, you know, the little where all their team is sitting. He picks the kid up and dumps him head first in there and then like starts knocking them on the head. And you're like, man, that's a brave kid because, you know, there's 20-odd kids there. You just gone over and picked a fight with a lot of them. But yeah. He gets thrown out for a game misconduct. So that's him out of the game completely. So they've lost their, you know, they've now lost Banks, who's their best player, and they've lost Fulton, who's their big, you know, power shot and their enforcer. So it's not looking well for them, but they eventually, they get back to level. And then Charlie gets fouled. He gets tripped on a breakthrough. So the film is going to end off the back of a penalty, which, you know, is a great throwback to the start of the film, because obviously at the start of the film, we have Bombay taking a penalty in, you know, in the end of the third. So there's a couple of seconds left and now Charlie is taking a penalty and they're all kind of discussing and they're like, who do we let take it? And they're, you know, let this guy take it, let this guy take it. And then Bombay is just like, I think we should let Charlie take it, which, you know, it's a nice point in the film, but I also think
it's a big call.
It's a big call to let the guy who's terrible at taking penalties take the penalty just because he won it, when, you know, all these kids are like, we can win the championship. And it's like, let's let our best penalty taker take it. Nah, let's let him take it.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
It's a big call, but he tells him go out and just do the triple deke, which is, so for people who obviously don't know, a deke is kind of, it's a fake shot. So you kind of, you make it look like you're going to shoot, look like you're going to shoot, look like you're going to shoot. And then on after the third one, you take your shot. And it was Bombay's special as a kid. And that's how he missed, you know, he triple deked, hit the post and it went out. And then Charlie takes it, triple deeks, it hits the post and goes in. So it's just, you know, it's a nice little tie up for, you know, oh, this happened to him all these years ago. And then the opposite happened to the kids he's coaching. So they obviously go on and win the game and they're now the state champions. So it's a nice, you know, go home.
It is. It's like Charlie kind of, I suppose, rectifies Bombay's, I suppose,
his big mistake. And, you know, yeah, it's not a mistake because it's, you know,
it's not a mistake. You know, it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's you know, the greatest goal scorer of all time, Cristiano Ronaldo. I was about to say Emiliano. the greatest goal scorer of all time in football, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, he'll miss the odd shot.
Many, many penalties.
Yeah,
you know, it happens. So it's but I suppose it is actually quite a good narrative, though. To be fair,
yeah, like it's a good way to wrap it up. Like he hit the post and it went wide, and it's haunted him for all these years, and now he's put in a position where he gets this kid, who, you know, the same thing could happen. It could haunt this kid forever. But we see that Bombay says to him, like, don't worry if you miss. Like, just go out. Just take the shot.
Okay, look.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world if you miss, which is what he was essentially told when he was a kid. So it's a nice little, you know, wrap up to it. So they obviously win. They're, you know, they're now the champions. And the film ends with Coach Bombay getting a tryouts to the AHL. So he's getting on this bus to go try out for an AHL, which is, you know, just one level below the NHL, which is also a bit unrealistic because it's some guy who hasn't played hockey for like, because he quits after he misses that penalty back when he's like 10.
And he's, I know, yeah, like you've got like the WHL, the AHL, they're like, you know, generally they're younger guys as well. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? They're not like, you know,
He does reference that. He says it, like he does reference it where he's like, you know, I'm going to be up against kids half my age, but you're kind of like, you haven't played hockey in like 20 odd years. why are you being given this chance? But, you know, he gets given the chance, and that's where the film ends, with him getting on the bus and him, you know, he sticks his head back out and he's like, keep practicing and I'll see you next year. So, like, is he going to continue to coach these while he's playing in the AHL? Because, you know, whatever team he's playing for, if they're not in Minnesota, he's got a lot of travel on his
forget
hands.
Forget about then. It. Like, you know what I mean? And to do it for free as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just a peewee job. So you're not even getting paid for it. Like, it's just your spare time. Like, yeah, I'll just go back. And I just played a big hockey game there. I'm just going to go back and coach these kids at peewee hockey. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know what the teammates will be asking there. They'll be like,
dude, do you not want to like relax or something, or do you know come
something
to practice,
dodgy
or...
going on? But this guy seems very interested in going and seeing these kids. And, yeah, you know, we're not going to do that. Yeah. It's like,
but like it's obviously just, you know, that's just a little line to let you know that don't worry, this isn't the end. You know, it's just that little line to let you know there's a second film coming.
It's a good one as well. Like, I mean, yeah. I think it's a good film. I mean, you can be. You can be crazy kind of cynical about things all the time with movies like that. And I think there's nothing worse in watching a movie with someone that's a cynic, you know what I mean? That just wants to pick out every single ridiculous thing.
That's not right.
You know what I mean? You're like, dude, is your life so bad? And in fairness, in COVID-19 times, it probably is, but COVID-19 hasn't been around forever. It's only the last year. And like, human beings as a absolute guarantee have done this over time. And it's just like, oh man, well, that should have happened. That's ridiculous. That would never happen. And you're like, I know. That's why it's a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the kind of thing I don't get. Like, as I said, you know, there's certain things that, you know, like, that's a game misconduct. He should have got thrown out. So like, I'm just saying that if you wanted to be critical of this film, to mark it down on something, that's the sort of thing you could mark it down on. But again, it's a film, you know, they are going to over-exaggerate these things. They are going to, like, you know, oh, he...
It's also a Disney film as well, people need to remember.
Yeah, it is a Disney film.
Mickey Mouse doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a kid's film. So, you know, like, the over-exaggerations and not exactly following the rules, like, they had, like, 2,000 people. And it's the same as in, like, The Karate Kid. They have this karate tournament and there's, like, this stadium full of people going to watch this karate tournament. Like, that's not happening. You know, it's a kid's karate tournament and it's a kid's peewee hockey league. Like, you're not getting 2,000 people in, and you're not going to have commentators commentating on the game. And if you do, they're going to be like, you know, just some kid's dad or something. Like, it's not.
And for what network?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, who's watching this? Like, this is broadcast on TV.
Broadcasting this stuff because nobody wants to watch it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, but yeah, you know, it's cinema, like, you know, it's Hollywood stuff, you know, like, oh, it's big, big it up.
And look, it's the Sheens involved as well, you know what
I mean?
Big actors back then. Like, yeah. Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen at this point in time are huge.
Yeah, they're at their pinnacle here, like.
Yeah, for sure, without a shadow of a doubt. Because, I mean, you have Charlie Sheen, I'm sure, around this time, probably doing the Naked Gun stuff, I would imagine.
They were in the 90s, so it would have been around then.
Imagine, I'm guessing here, like, I'm sure people can correct us, of course, our comments are always open for, you know, for discussion, but I think it's actually a good film. I always found Emilio Estevez to be a very kind of comforting actor when I enjoyed watching the film.
There's something about him, isn't there? Yeah, there's just something like
just something
easy going
something
about
more
him.
Likeable than Charlie Sheen, even, I think. You know,
he's definitely he's definitely the more likable of the two. All right, yeah.
Well, we're not going to get into anything about Charlie Sheen.
No, but not even in that way. Just as, like, even when you look at them, you're just like, he just seems like a more relatable character, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, like, Charlie Sheen, to put it in wrestling terms, I mean, definitely Emilio Estevez is the white meat babyface, and Charlie Sheen is the out and out fucking Bruiser Brody heel. You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
So I think in that sense, they couldn't be miles apart if they tried, in terms of as brothers. And obviously Martin Sheen, fantastic actor himself, and the whole Irish-Spanish connection that they have in that whole family is quite unique. But I think Emilio Estevez definitely, you know, I think he kind of didn't want the limelight the later he got into his career. But I think this is prime Emilio Estevez as I say, you know, coming off, you know, many years later, 7 years later, to be fair, off the back of the Breakfast Club, which I'm sure will be covered on this.
Definitely, yeah, will be at some point. Yeah, it's
one of my favorite shows that I, again, one of my favorite films, should I say, that I watch.
Got a soundtrack off it as well. It's just,
oh, it's so good. I mean, that's Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, one of the best songs ever written. Let's be real.
And it works so well into that film as well. Do you know?
Everything about that film is just perfect, you know. So no, I really enjoyed this tonight, Ted. Actually, thanks for having me on for that. Actually,
yeah, no, of course. You know, but as I said, had to get a hockey fan in, and who else?
Yeah, that's it. Like, because you know, hockey is such, it's especially in Ireland, like, there's lots of hockey fans in Ireland, but I don't think there's lots of hockey fans that get it. You know what I mean? Plenty of people that play hockey in Ireland too, which in fairness there is.
Yeah, we see a lot of people think of hockey, like the Irish hockey team is quite good, right? But they're field hockey, and it's a very different sport. Like ice hockey and field hockey are very different.
Oh, absolutely.
So like there's very few actual ice hockey fans around Ireland because it's not easily accessible. Like it's on very late at night.
And there's not enough fans in Ireland for, you know, say for example, if there was an Irish league or
you wouldn't be able to do something like that.
Team, there wouldn't be enough sponsors behind it to kind of get their money back, I suppose, is what they would look at it. That's the point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
That they would be taking it. Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but hopefully like basketball kind of took off and quite a few years ago with Jordan and stuff. The NFL is American football is kind of starting to take off now. You're starting to see leagues shoot up around the country now. So hopefully, you know, we don't really have the weather for ice hockey either, because we'd have to have pretty much indoor rinks the whole way around, because we don't get cold enough for an outdoor ice hockey rink.
Oh, we get cold enough. We just don't get enough rain. We get too much rain.
Too much rain. But I think this is one of the, This, as I said, is one of my favorite films of all time. So I rate it insanely high, but I don't, like, I wouldn't tell somebody that, you know, it should be rated higher than the 65, as I said, that it gets on that. Like, I'm not a big ratings guy, because I'll just watch anything. Yeah. And as you know, like, there's very few things I've ever watched where I haven't, you know, enjoyed them to some extent. I'm very easily, you know, entertained in that sense. Like, I'll just sit down and watch it, and there's very few films I've ever actively disliked that I've seen. Now, obviously, there's millions of films out there, so, you know, there's probably loads out there that I would watch and hate. But, this is one of just the feel-good, you know, one, it throws me back to my childhood, and then two, it's just a real feel-good family sort of film.
Well, isn't that what retrotainment is all about? I mean, it's all about nostalgia and bringing it
exactly,
back.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, I believe in 2021, and I know we're only, like,
just into it.
You know, yeah, we're just into it. I mean, we're getting into February now, but I look around at, you know, as I always like to say, the man cave, and I look at stuff that I have, and I always say the reason I have this stuff is because I like to be brought back to my childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in 2020 and 21, people are starting to go back and divvy into their childhood and things that made them happy, because there's not much else in the world that they can do at the moment other than go to work, come home and cocoon. Do you know what I mean? So that's absolutely what people should be doing. And I think the people that are too pro, oh, that's for kids. You're like, they're the guys that are the saddest of all. You know what I mean? Because you're like, you're actually pretend. You're even if you don't know it, you're fighting. You're fighting so hard against what your internal, I suppose, inner child is trying to say to you, because we were all one once.
Yeah, it's a real teenager thing, I always think. Do you know, like, because when you're a teenager, you were like, I don't watch that. That's for kids. Like, because, you know, you kind of had to big yourself up in that little way. Like, well, I don't listen to that band. No, I wouldn't be into them. Like, you just don't want to admit it. But then as you get older, you're kind of like, yeah, what was I talking about? I loved them. Like, I love that film.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's a growing pain that everyone goes through. But once you're an adult, like, you should be able to just...
I'm going to go back and watch whatever movie made me happy. It doesn't matter whether it was 101 fucking Dalmatians or whether it was, you know, whether it was Rambo. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you saw Rambo when you were, although if you saw Rambo when you were six, you can see, you know, you can see the implications. I saw it when I was 10 and it still has an effect, but it was a good thing.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think there's kind of like, you know, it's within your own house, lads. Like, you can sit down and watch whatever you want. Don't worry about it. Like, just sit down, enjoy it. And, you know, people say that, like, you know, with COVID, and as you said, like, it's kind of work, home, cocoon, you can't really go anywhere, you can't do anything. This is the time. Like, this is the time to just, you know, you need to de-stress. You need to just forget about all the worries, you know, bills to pay, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let yourself be teleported back to your childhood in a sense. And that's what, like, this film for me does. Like, it teleports me back to then. And, I watch this film every year.
I can see that in your eyes, like, when you speak about that film.
Yeah, like, I'm really passionate about it.
Yeah, and I automatically think of my films. I automatically think, for example, of Back to the Future and E.T. Because I'll be honest with you, which our previous film that we've done, I think obviously people saw how emotional I got with the whole Jaws movie. Mm. But like Back to the Future, E.T., Gremlins, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original 90s films.
Yeah.
The Karate Kid, like... You know, there's an old karate movie as well, martial arts movie, should I say, called Best of the Best, which was which had Julia Roberts' brother Eric Roberts in it, which is one of my favorite movies. These are all movies that my uncle used to watch with me, you know, who's now living in Spain. Mm. Thankfully, people would probably thought he's no longer with us. No, he's still with us.
No, he's still around, lad, don't worry.
Yeah, he's still here. But it's like... you know, these, I never let that go. Do you know what I mean? It's the same with pro wrestling. You know, I remember, my mind remembers watching great WrestleMania moments with my family. And, you know, they probably forgot about it when the show was over and went on to whatever they were doing. Whereas to me, it was like, it was like a magnet. Boom. Yeah,
important. Like.
It very important. And I think that's why this show was very important. And I think I would encourage people that do listen to Ted doing this show. I thought the last episode was fantastic. For example, I had never seen The Hurricane. I went back and watched it.
I was the same. I'd never seen it. It was only because Greg mentioned it, and I was like, this is deadly. Like, why? You're into your boxing, so you would have known kind of the story about...
Oh, I knew the story of The Hurricane, of course. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, the Bob Dylan song, people should know.
Yeah, so you kind of know what's going to happen in the film. You're like, this is what's going to happen, and this, but it doesn't take away from the, like, the cinematography and the story it tells. Like, you just sit down and don't try and be like critical of it. Just sit down and just watch it for what it is. Like, don't worry about if it's not the world's greatest acting. Don't worry about if it's formulaic or childish or this. Just enjoy it. Like,
absolutely. And I think that's something that we lose, that the older we get in the world of social media as well. I don't think people actually pay attention. I think that's really what the problem is in modern society, is that people don't really pay attention. People's attention span has gone. People can't actually sit down and read a book for, say, five chapters in a row, you know, in a bathtub. I mean, that's my favorite time to read, you know. I love bringing my comics, for example, or my books, and I read in the bathtub because it's like old school. You know what I mean? You let the steam rise into your head. You clear your mind of absolutely everything and you read. And you come out, and you come out better for it. Or you just find a place, you know, in time where everyone else is doing their thing. And you sit down, you read for a little while, and you just feel better. Or, you know, you can watch your favorite show as well and do that. I don't think people take enough time now to actually put their phone down. Put it away from your side. I mean, here's a tip for all you. I was about to say, what's that? I was about to say, here's one for all you cool cats and kittens. Here's a tip. Put your phone down, literally turn your phone off, or let it get down to absolute zero. Put your phone down, literally put your favorite movie on that you remember as a kid and just watch it again. Even if it's horseshit. Or like I say, read your favorite book or read your favorite comic. I think this is great. And I think that's what's great about Retrotainment, because literally the gloves are off with your show, Ted, to be honest with you, because you really could talk about anything that brings us back to nostalgia territory.
And it's weird because, like, as you said, like, especially with this film, and there will be one that's done in the future, which, like, little spoiler, it's, you know, Space Jam. It's like, that's my, Space Jam is like my pinnacle of the films.
I don't even think anyone would do, I don't even think there's anyone you can bring on for that film that will do it justice.
No, but like, to me, that's like this pinnacle film that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And I talk about it really passionately, and like, people think I'm joking when I'm like, that's my favorite film. They're like, yeah, it's not really. Like, when I say that's my favorite film, I don't mean it's the best film ever. It's not the best film I've ever seen. But in terms of, like, I will sit down, I watch, so every year.
Well, I'm one of Ted's best friends and have been for, like, the last, what?
Well, it's definitely
10 plus, 10 probably plus
coming,
years.
Probably coming up to the sort of 10-year mark now at this point, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd say even 10 plus, actually, 2021, yeah, I would say about 11 years. And this guy is not lying when he says that Space Jam is going to be an epic show for this,
yeah,
this, like, kid. But, like, he absolutely loves it.
Yeah, like, it's up there, but so is the Mighty Ducks for me. Like, and don't know, like, people have their films, you know, like, oh, I watched this at Christmas. There hasn't been a year where I haven't watched the Mighty Ducks trilogy and Space Jam throughout the year at some point. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even before all this COVID happened, where people are like, oh, I don't have the times to, like, sometimes when I just need to de-stress, just, you know, forget about everything, that's what I put on. Because, yeah, I know the film's inside out, I know them back to front, like, but I sit down and they bring you back to that calmness, that childhood, you know, carefreeness that you had as a kid. Like, you know, no real worry, like, your biggest worries as a kid were, you know something that you'd look at now and you'd be like, that is not something I'd be worried about. Like, I didn't get the new Nike boots or something, you know, like, you're not something, yeah, not something you'd worry about now, but, like, back then that was like, you know, that was the worst thing ever. Oh, I got Adidas boots instead of Nike, everyone's gonna rip me apart. Like, you know, in the grand scheme, it didn't matter then, and it, like, matters even less now, but that's your big worry as a kid. So, like, when you sit down and you, like, watch something, especially something from when you were a kid, and even if it's something you've never seen, you just sit down, just turn your brain off, essentially. Like, you're just watching it.
That's actually spot on. And I know that sounds condescending to some people, what you said there, turn your brain off, but that's actually perfect. That's exactly what it is. Turn your brain off and watch something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we are going to do a Disney podcast where you're probably going to see my boss.
Well, we can't. Better half on. And, we'd do one without her, we'd be in a lot of trouble then.
Oh, yeah. So, I convinced her she's going to do it. Without me as well, because that's a conversation you guys need to have. And I think that's exactly what it is. It brings you back to your childhood. When I look around their room, and you've been in our rooms and you've seen our stuff, and, like, and I've seen your stuff as well.
Yeah.
Like, to some people, it's just stuff and it's clutter. But to us, it's actually, it's memories and it's nostalgia. And again, this podcast is called Retrotainment. You know, yeah. And the whole idea behind it is that we're going back in time. You know, some, I'm sure for you, Ted, like, some will resonate with some fans, some will resonate with others. But, yeah, like, so far I've listened to, this is going to be the fifth show, right?
Fourth. There was the Tony Hawk's episode, but, like, that was just a little bit that I did, yeah.
So the fourth actual show, where it was, like, myself, Niall, obviously Greg as well. And, you know, I really kind of, I like that. Sometimes I like just sitting back and listening to people. And you know what's great? And I hope somebody's watching this. Somebody can probably look at me and go, oh yeah, that guy's had a few beers now and he's sitting there with Ted and he's going, oh shit, they're just talking shit about the Mighty Ducks. Well, I'll tell you what, it makes me feel a whole lot better than sitting just criticizing everything.
Yeah. And, like, that's something, like, a lot of people, as you said, you can see when I talk about this film, there's an actual, like, visceral passion and enjoyment. And
sure. Yeah.
My face. And people will say, like, that guy, you know, he's obviously had a few drinks. I don't drink, like, so that's not what this is. Like,
No. You brought me on as a guest. Yeah. We had a few drinks because I got good meals today, as you know, Ted.
Yeah. But, no, but so I mean, that's, like,
our private business.
Where people are looking at this and they're like, they're only, you know, this pumped about this because they've had a few drinks or whatever. Like, that's not what this is. Like, this is, you know,
yeah,
this is what, you know, going back to your childhood does to people. Like,
absolutely,
it gives you that pump of not endorphins, but like it just fills you with a general happiness. And that's why, like, I went back and watched that film in episode 3 with Greg, the Hurricane. And I say I went back and watched it. I'd never watched that. So that was a film that Greg chose, and it's something that he loved. And I went back and then I watched it for the first time, which is why I'm not as passionate about a film like that as I am with something like this. But I loved that because it's, you know, it gave me a chance to go back and watch something that I'd never seen before. And like, I probably never would have gone and watched that if Greg hadn't, you know, suggested it.
So, and that, I suppose
that's,
I suppose,
what I love. Like,
I suppose as well that you'd be open on your podcast as well to like taking suggestions from people.
Yeah, man, like,
well,
definitely. People just tell
that
me
that means
like,
something to them. Like, yeah.
Oh, I'd love for you to watch this film and do a discussion with somebody about it, with me about it, whoever. Like, yeah, definitely. Like, because I'll sit down and watch anything. Like, as I said, and like, as you know, I'm real. Like, we're both big pro wrestling fans, and a lot of people find a lot of fault with, you know, current pro wrestling in terms of like, Raw shit that was boring. I don't find them boring because I don't zone out. Like I said, turn your brain off. I don't turn my brain off because I still sit there and I actively enjoy it. But it's like, I'm not looking for something to dislike.
That's it. It's not you're turning your brain off. You're turning your critical brain off.
I'm coming in and I'm just like, oh, can't wait to see what happens here. And you know, yeah, sometimes something happens and I'm like, that was real bad. Like, I didn't like that at all. And like, I have 2 or 3 films that I've seen and I've just hated them. And I think they're like some of the worst films I've ever seen. So it's not like I'm incapable of disliking something. It's just, it takes a lot more for me to dislike something, actively dislike it, because I want to enjoy it. Like, I actively want.
That's very fair. And to be honest with you, I think that's, you know, I think that's actually quite commendable, to be honest with you, like that you can actually look for the good in it.
Yeah, like I want to enjoy these. Like, so Greg says to me, watch this film. I'm going to be like, yeah. And I'm going to look to enjoy it. And it's not one that we've done, but like, Greg used to tell me to watch films and they were, I'll call them horror films for want of a better word, but they were, you know, those horror films that were meant to be bad. Like, this is bad that it's funny and it's not
scary.
They're
my kind of horrors.
Yeah.
And by the way, on Dynamo Podcast Network, just so you know, we are going to have a podcast specifically designated to that. So Ted is saying is absolutely right. There's those horror films like where Chopping Mall, you know, where it's like everyone's like, ah, and you can see the killer coming straight at you and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you know?
Yeah. But like, Greg used to say, like, and Greg loves these as well. These dirt films that are, you know, they're created with the idea of it's so bad that it's good, where some people will watch that and they'll never be able to get that that's the joke. Like, the joke is that, like, this is how bad this is, it's funny. And that's like, I get that. Like, I sit down and I watch that, and even if it's really, like, I would rather something be like super super shit, because then I can enjoy it for being that super super shit than to try to be really good and end up not doing it well.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I suppose that's pretty cool. I just want to thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, but of course, can't not have you on, especially for a topic like this of the old ice hockey, since it, like, me and you talk every day pretty much now, based just on the teams playing, like you for the Calgary Flames and then myself on the Ducks, and then we discuss the other teams as well. And actually, big shout out to, I'm sure he's listening, but Wayne Gretzky, his 60th birthday just gone by there. Big shout out. I'm sure he's listening. The greatest of all time.
There's the big W.
Yeah. But we'll call it there. As we can see, your dog is, it's bedtime for your dog, and I don't wanna keep Millie up. So
yeah, she's
sorry, Millie. I'll let you get to sleep there.
She's enjoyed it, in fairness. She's a mighty dog. Well, she's, you know, she's whatever.
Yeah, whatever's on.
yeah. She's like one of the old Celts. She'll just go and fight whatever's in front of her. Yeah.
But big thank you for coming on again. And then obviously, as we mentioned at the start, people can catch you on your own personal show of Dynamo's Dozen. They can catch you on the Four Podmen, which is obviously yourself, Niall, Jay, and Joe, who are dropping an episode Friday, I believe. So
tomorrow. Well, yeah, no, that will be on Thursday, which will be the 28th. So it'll be pretty much.
Well, you're recording the 28th. Are you dropping the 28th, or are you going to drop the Friday? Well, either way, it's dropping in the next day or two, guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
if people don't know the Four Podmen, it's a wrestling-based podcast, and with the week that's in it, obviously Royal Rumble season is heavy in town, so that's where they've looked at Royal Rumbles for the last couple of weeks in the build up to this, and so this will be the last Royal Rumble for quite a while, as maybe when you watch it you'll notice that there's a certain Podman that's a little bit happy that this is the last Rumble that he has to discuss for a while.
A bit of a burnout. Yeah,
he's had too much. The 2021 Royal Rumble will be enough for him. But obviously those are all available, as all our other shows, on the Dynamo Podcast Network, which is obviously on YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, Apple, Google, anywhere you want to listen to it, really.
Yeah, what I would say to people, especially if they like looking at the video content with that nice little picture in the background that you have, is, you know, the usual thing of like the smash that subscribe button. No, just subscribe to our show. Hit the bell notification, because literally you will be, you know, we know that the shows that we cover on the Dynamo Podcast Network isn't for everybody, you know, but there are certain ones that are for certain people. And we have them layered out. They're all in playlists there.
They're so, in a playlist. So like, yeah, like as you said, you and me are both big into the ice hockey, but neither of us are huge NFL fans.
Exactly.
There's a great NFL show, but you know, so if you're into NFL, there's a show for you. If you're into wrestling, there's a show for
you. The Under Center podcast, if you want, you can go and check out the Four Podmen, as you mentioned.
Yeah, the upper tier, if it's football you're looking for, you know, music, you've got Kyle King Woe, the King Woe's Court. There's something there for everybody.
Absolutely. And it's going to grow. There's going to be more shows as well.
You have a one in the pipeline coming up now.
Well, we have the boxing show as well, which hit its first episode there last week, which of course is the Creeping Southpaw with the very, very talented Jason McGuinness, who is the lead singer of the very successful band in Ireland, Creep. Great band. That's what we do. And we talk about on that episode, we talk about the potential, like the biggest fight possibly in history, if it happens, which it will happen this year, hopefully, which will be obviously Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. And we're going to be also recording very soon. And the next episode is going to be about obviously the reaction to the McGregor fight, but also where McGregor goes
from here
in boxing from there, because it is a boxing podcast. So it's not going to be an MMA podcast. I don't want to.
Yeah, but there's that crossover there. McGregor is that kind of crossover because he came into the boxing world from the MMA world. So you kind of do need to talk about both when you're talking about him.
Exactly. When you're talking about McGregor, you need to. And then we're going to talk, because, you know, there's a lot to talk about on that show with McGregor going in, that you expect him to stand up on the feet as a southpaw, wanting to fight a southpaw before he potentially gets in with Manny Pacquiao, who was one of the most pound for pound greatest of his generation. And all of a sudden, he gets beaten by Dustin Poirier in the stand-up, in a boxing fight. How does that bode well for McGregor?
Yeah,
going into a fight against Manny Pacquiao. So this is what we're all talking about. So there's more, and as Ted rightly said, we're gonna have a horror show, and there's gonna be lots more shows as well, where you don't have to see my face all the time as well.
Yeah, there's different, like obviously different hosts. Most of them you'll see pop up on each other's shows from here, there and everywhere, but there is something for everybody, so you are better off just to, you know, follow the Dynamo's Podcast Network, and that way you can see each show as it comes up. And then if you're only into one show, as we said, they're all in playlists, so you can just always just watch them. You'll get the notification for the other shows, which, you know, maybe you don't like, but at least you'll get the notification when the one that you do like is up there. And maybe you're not into the NFL, maybe you don't really understand it. Well, you know, this is a good entranceway to it. You don't really know much about the Irish music scene. There, you know, that can get you into it as well. So there's loads there, and I do think it's worth, you know, liking the page.
It's free.
Subscribing. Yeah, you know, costs nothing. It's not like a Twitch. It's not a Twitch subscription where you have to pay every month. It's YouTube. It's free. You can like and subscribe to as many things as you want on that. It doesn't cost you a penny.
It's absolutely free, and we do it for free, and we put a lot of hard work into it, and we hope you enjoy our content. And your support means a lot to us. That's essentially what we're saying.
Yeah. So for Ian the Dynamo Kelly, it's don't miss your cue.
Over and out.
and for me, it's good luck. Well, it's time for that part of the show that you all love. The advertisements for our sponsors. I know. None of us really like listening to these, but the truth is that we wouldn't be able to bring you this content without them. So let's just get down to it. First off, Wrestling Mania, the top floor of Stevens Green Shopping Centre. Really good shop for all of your wrestling needs, whether that's DVDs, title belts, pop figurines, other collectibles, t-shirts, and if you like boxing and MMA, he has stuff there for you too. If he doesn't have something that you want, you can ask him. He'll order it in. No problems. Really nice guy, the owner of this shop. So get on down to Wrestling Mania on the top floor of Stevens Green Shopping Center. Oh, what's that? A pandemic? Well, that doesn't mean he's closed. Catch him on Facebook. Just send him a message. He'll sort you out. No problems asked. And our other sponsor, Peter Hart Graphics. Now, this guy has done most of, if not all of the graphics for the Dynamo's podcast network. Really good stuff, guys. Seriously, this is top, top quality stuff. And he doesn't charge a bomb for it, which is the greatest part. If you need any sort of graphic designed, it's peterhartgraphics@gmail.com. That's Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Hart, H-A-R-T-E. Graphics, graphics@gmail.com. This guy is the easiest person I've ever worked with when it comes to making a graphic. You give him your ideas, he'll come back with something similar to what you wanted. And then if it might be exactly what you want, and if it's not, he is so open to criticism and tweaks, and he'll be back to you as soon as you give him what you want updated on that. This is easy, easy stuff to get done. But actually, if you tried to do it yourself, you'd realize just how difficult it is to make it look smooth and clean. Not a problem with Peter Hart Graphics. Check out his stuff on his Facebook page, Peter Hart Graphics.